going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principal.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Ben's vision. It takes a big spotlight today after the Bears have completed their draft. Just like everyone else, they aren't the only ones that completed their draft, but they were. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show here with you until 6 o'clock. There's a lot to break down because this very much felt like Ben having his hands all in, and his coaching staff too. And his coaching staff having a lot of hands inside of all of this.
You know what's interesting is this concept of us doing this segment was born just a couple of days after his introductory press conference. And we talked about it first in terms of, well, he's just going to get all these pieces and it's going to be just like what he did in Detroit. And then we're like, well, wait a minute. It's not going to be the same playbook. And we played the clip that's there in the open about how we're going to tear the offense down to the studs and build it back up. And then we ended up adding a caveat about how he's not building the same exact offense, but personnel, after 3 years of him as the visionary, is extremely relevant. And now he's the one who brings it all the way back to, here's my Detroit piece here, and here's my Detroit piece there. And it's a little unsettling to you.
I'm trying to figure out if it's good or bad. I don't know. It might be good considering the type of success that he had. But I did notice, like, there was that... that theme didn't stop, like, in the weekend. Obviously, the Colston Loveland thing. And we'll get to that in a second. But it was Luther Burden, too. He's like, oh, you know, he went to high school with Jameson Williams. And they're kind of alike.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
As soon as Burden got picked, I tweeted, oh, he got his Laporta, now he got his Jameson Williams. And people were like, wait a minute, I thought you said he wasn't doing that, blah, 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 blah.
It seemed like all the coaches got their guys, too.
God, Randall L. was so thrilled when they got Luther Burden.
Right. And then with Shamar Turner, that seemed to be a DA pick. The Roschar, the Trapillo, you seemed to be a Roschar pick on how Poles was talking about how they think they can help his bend because he's 6'8" and he's going to have to get lower to be able to play the position that he's supposed to play. Mm. Then, I don't know if you caught this, but with Zach Frazier, they were talking about how Al Harris was like, oh, no, he identified him a couple months ago and was like, we should be able to get that guy in the fourth or the fifth round.
I did catch that. You're right. Now, they love the coaching staff and they grabbed all these guys. So are we to assume then that the running back is a Bieniemy guy? You know?
Maybe.
Maybe a free agent to be will be a Bieniemy guy.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know if it's good or bad. I just know that I'm like, huh, maybe he is trying to put the band back together.
I think it's good. I think it's good. Look, I've been the guy saying for years, they need a coach with a freaking vision, and then they need to draft players that those guys are going to use. And not just because they're going to use, but because they're going to teach them. You know? I don't want a GM that's grabbing his guys and then saying, here, you coach him. Good luck.
I agree. I would rather it lean towards the coach. And you could make an argument to the Trapillo is a Poles guy because of the connection with BC and his dad and all of this stuff.
You know, I've done it when talking about the left tackle of like, well, I think Poles is going to win that one and have Braxton and Amagaji as his guys. But I don't... You know,
well, maybe his guy will be over there. He'll just be Darnell Wright.
It could be. And this new guy. But like, this is alignment is supposed to be them truly collaborating and discussing. And when in doubt, lean towards the coach's vision for the most part. And I that's cool. Like, I don't know that we need to make it diametric. Like, this was Ben's draft or this was Pohl's draft. It's hard. It's hard not to do that in our business, but I don't know that that's fair entirely.
But here's my thing. I think that Poles deserves credit for allowing it to be Ben's draft. That saying you're the head coach, you tell me what you want. Because I don't think that there was the same level of respect for Kraft and or acumen or caring when it comes to what Matt Eberflus and his staff thought about players. I think that Poles was probably, and I think well within his rights, be like, you know what? We got this part. We got some really smart people up here. We'll bring you those guys. You coach them up. Like, these are the players that we think fit. Now, that didn't work. I like the idea of the head coach saying, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, man, so do I.
And if it's a tie...
Go to the coach. Go to the coach. I mean, we talk about it in baseball terms. We talk about whoever they're developing needs to be coached the same way once he gets to the big league club. I mean, these are the guys. Like you mentioned, Rauschard being able to help that big tackle, Trapillo, do some bending and because he's good at that stuff. Good. I want that kind of synergy. The best orgs have that. This is year one, but if they're leaning in to giving themselves that kind of synergy in the first go of a draft here, I'm good with it. I think it's overdue, if anything.
So let's get into this. Let's hear from Ben. Ben Johnson, he talked about Loveland, and basically he said, look, this guy is an avatar for a player that you've seen be a problem for the Bears to defend.
Really, with Colson, it starts with the person more so than the player. Listening, and I love the tape. I love everything about the tape. But when you get to know him as a man, it's really intriguing. It's who we want to be going forward, in my opinion. He stands for high football character, IQ, intelligence, but he's a great teammate. When we went to the University of Michigan, everybody was raving about him to see how he conducted himself, not only amongst his teammates, but walking through the building and interacting with equipment staff and video staff. You could tell that he was so well respected. His story is a little bit unique, you know, coming from small town Idaho and yet going to the big stage like he did. He didn't bat an eye. And so, I do see a lot of comparisons to Laporta, but that's not just on the field. That was off the field as well, because with Laporta, the stage was never too big or too bright. I felt that same thing with Colston the first time I met him. He doesn't bat an eye. He performs at a high level. And as we talk about where we're going as an organization, and we're going to be playing in these big games with the bright lights, we need guys that are going to rise up to the occasion, and he's going to do that for us.
Love the stuff about football character and what he thinks from having met the guy and going to work out with him. I suspect, though, your issue is more with the specific player profile and the putting the pegs in the correct hole.
And I don't think it's wrong. I just think that we're seeing, like, a bunch of it. And you're like, oh, okay. I thought that we were just going to see how things went. But – if the whole reason that you hired Ben Johnson was because you wanted a recreation of the success that he had in Detroit, let him go look for it. The problem is if you go look for it without it being authentic, without it actually being you going, oh my God, like now that I think about it, he is a lot like Sam LaPorta. It's what you're talking about, the concept of confirmation bias. Are you seeing what you want to see?
There's a broader point that I want to make to push back on this, but I think we should continue talking about it because it kept going. So you, like Luther Burden is the next one that comes up here. When they draft Burden, I'm like, oh, there's their Jameson Williams. Now, Jameson Williams, crazy speed, and Burden doesn't have quite that amount of speed in terms of it being specifically measured, but he's an explosive ball carrier, and I and others are not the only ones to say the Jameson Williams name in regards to him.
Yeah, that's something that Ben brought up when he talked about the weapons and their concept. And we got a little bit more on Burden that we'll get to in a little bit. But this has been talking about the weapons and the fact that he wants competition and he wants this thing to raise up. And just listen very closely, because I think it'll give you a window into what was going on here before.
Listen, we talked about it. The moment the players got back into the building, call it 3 weeks ago now, it was going to be a competitive environment. There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. So we were very straightforward and honest with them when they came into the building. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's where you bring out the best, not only in your team, but in each individual. So what I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense. Okay. Yeah, you're right. We have a lot of weapons. And so how are you going to run your route when you might not be number one in the progression? Okay. How are you going to block for your teammate when he has the ball? Because if you do those things right, then as a coaching staff, we're going to want to get you the ball a little bit more. So it all ties together. It all goes hand in hand. And that's the beauty behind it.
Listening to Ben talk about the competition he wants to build here. And I know you're always looking for competitiveness when you're looking for players. I'm sure. But was there anything different this year doing it with Ben, working with DA, and the type of traits that they want when it comes to the kind of having that edge, that fire, that competitiveness you've talked about? Or was that, I mean, again, I know you always look for it, but it was just a little bit different when you want to match what Ben's looking for here.
Every coach wants guys that have, you know, high level of competes and all that. But I think anytime it's something you revisit every year. Like, what are we looking to accomplish? What do we want on our football team? If that's from a scheme standpoint or the type of player or what traits that they're bringing, that's something we, you know, we'll go back to every single year to make sure that, all right, these positions have this, because that's how we want to approach this upcoming year and build a roster. So we always want to be aligned with those things that we're looking for in terms of traits and makeup.
Right there, all I was like was, okay, Ryan, yeah, that's great. Let's get back to Ben. Because I can't get enough of Ben voicing what his vision is for how this team's going to fight and compete with each other. And like, no block, no rock. We talked about it in terms of wide receivers a long, long time ago with this particular offense.
Which is interesting, considering their second round draft
pick. Yes, it is.
So I ran across this morning. James Palmer and Steve Smith do this. Steve Smith, the wide receiver. They do a podcast together. It's really good. Hopefully we can get James on the show this week, because he had some incredible intel that our buddy Alex Kuhn was able to kind of say, yeah, that actually kind of tracks with what you know about
it. I wasn't familiar with this show. And you sent it, and we're going to play a clip from a little ways in, but I watched the whole thing, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, and having Steve Smith break down wide receivers I always think is good. But keep in mind what Ben said about what you do without the ball will play a role in whether or not you get the ball when you hear Steve Smith's scout on Luther Burden III.
If he doesn't get the ball when he believes he should, becomes unfocused.
Okay.
Explosive with the ball in his hands. You get a lot of usage out of him. At times, they seem to force the ball to him. This is the criticism right now.
Okay.
against bigger and physical teams didn't answer the bell with the same energy.
When we look at all this, Steven, obviously these guys are moldable, right? This is a work in progress. You say that all the time.
You hope some are.
Yes, you hope you are. And obviously the more moldable the player is, the more coachable he is, the more you want him in your room.
Yes, sir.
If you're the position coach specifically, certain traits are correctable. Certain traits are correctable by the individual.
Correct.
Because it's a lot of want to.
You have to be willing to change, desire to change. You also got to be able to look in the mirror. Right. And know, you know, hey, I'm speaking from experience. You got to look at who's the common denominator. It can't always be.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you used to hear, man, Miss Susie don't like me. She failed me.
Yeah.
But Mr. Lovin, I got an A. So Miss Susie failed me, but when you get an A, it's me. When you fail, it's her. Right? And so that's, I don't know. I don't know him. I have never met him. I haven't had a discussion with him. Haven't had a conversation with him. He may want or will not have a conversation with me based off this evaluation, you know? Mm-hmm. Either way, don't matter.
That was Steve Smith Sr. with James Palmer on their podcast talking about new Bears wide receivers. So that's interesting to me. And maybe that's Ben saying, hey, man, we picked you, but I hope you understand the way that you're going to get touches is by you doing all of the little things correctly and you being a good teammate while the game is going on.
He apparently has had way too many times where he doesn't run routes with purpose. He's had too many times where the way he moves, like Steve said, without the ball is not the way he moves with the ball.
He's fantastic with the ball.
Dude, with the ball, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of when young Odell Beckham Jr. showed up, and it was like, look at the way that guy runs. Like, he just ate a star in Super Mario Brothers. Like, he's just explosive.
The soccer player in Odell Beckham Jr. would come out all the time where you see him kind of get small in some of these spaces to break through. And then when he had his speed,
oh,
it was just,
there was nothing like it. There was nothing like it. This kid shows flashes of it. They say he's the best yards after catch receiver in this draft. But if he doesn't bust his hump the other times, he's not going to play. So Ben is talking to him as much as he's talking to others, like subtweeting DJ Moore, like some texters are saying, or whatever. So I kind of love that Luther Burden comes in here not handed a full-time job.
But you would expect someone who is a second-round pick to have one. And if he doesn't, then that's a problem. Because if you're taking a receiver in the second round when you already have a multi-year receiver locked up on a big-money deal and a first-round, a top-10 pick out there wide receiver, and you take a second receiver or a third receiver in the second round, that guy's supposed to play.
I hear you, but Zaccheaus can play too. He played a bunch for Washington last year. I think they're going to make this kid earn it, and I'm cool with that. All right, so here's the broader point I wanted to make, okay, about Ben getting all these Lions guys and it feeling a little too on the nose in terms of the replication. He's still going to break this thing down to the studs and build it back up based on the strengths they have. Because of the quarterback. And this is what I'm going to expect. That's going to be the difference. He doesn't have Jared Goff. And asking Caleb to be Jared Goff, if he's saying this kid is Loveland, or Loveland is Laporta, and this kid is Jameson Williams, you're destined to fail if you're going to ask Caleb to be full-on Jared Goff. He's going to ask him to do some of that.
I disagree with that.
Well, but he's going to ask Caleb to do some of that.
I think if you ask him to be Jared Goff, knowing that in the moments when he doesn't have to be, the moments where Caleb can be Caleb, when a play breaks down, when the pocket collapses, and then there's all of that special stuff, I think if Caleb puts up the type of numbers that Goff has put up over the last three seasons, the Bears are going to be in a position to be a playoff team.
Oh, no, I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is from his design and his utilization here, he's going to have to look at Caleb and say, you know what? Caleb's not ready for this kind of shallow cross constantly as much as Jared was.
But he also has to get to that. And that's one of the points that Ben has made about Caleb, too, is that we are going to work together. We're going to start and we're going to build this thing up. But I don't think that he's going to overload him. I think that he's going to make it the simplest form of it. And like Burden, there will be Caleb earning the next part of it. But if he can go back there and play point guard the way that Jared Goff has played point guard for the Lions, the Bears are in great shape. And then when we need you to be Superman,
for sure,
in the moments when you have to do it, then do it. But the idea would still be like, this is the template. We'll figure out how we want you specifically to do it. Because I think Caleb's got a stronger arm than Goff.
Well, this is what I'm saying. As he's designing, you know, the play sheet, and he's using everything that's in his playbook and deciding what the first 15 are going to be and what the game plan is going to be, he needs to, and I think will, fit it to what Caleb is good at and ready for on a weekly basis. And that is going to be an opportunity for the difference. That's the opportunity, is that the most important guy on the offense is going to dictate what he uses all these guys for schematically on a given week.
But last year, I would say the things that we saw Caleb be really good at are not sustainable in the NFL. I think that the stuff that Goff does with it's like saying, we're going to do all of this stuff, but we've got a better version of the person who's doing it.
Well, ideally, because if a prey breaks down, then this guy will take it next level.
And again, like the arm strength thing, I do think that Caleb has a stronger arm. There would probably be somebody who would argue with me on that, but I think that he's got a stronger arm. But what were the things that we were saying about Caleb? Like, hey, take the layup. Hey, take the free cheese. It's all out there. And then if he can find some consistency, even though he's got the stronger arm, I don't think he has the level of touch that Goff had on some of the deep balls. If he finds consistency there and you're playing in a style that is similar but not the same,
right,
I think it can be successful.
For sure. For sure. And he doesn't have the same feet in rhythm in the pocket that Goff has. And he's going to have to learn that stuff. I'm just speaking to your and other people's fears of like, oh, he's just trying to do the Detroit thing and put a Detroit guy in there. He's trying to give himself the tools he needs to call all the things he can call. But now comes the fun that he has discussed before of actually putting together what works for the people involved. And his quarterback is the number one concern.
And we know that Caleb's already been putting in the work, getting used to taking the ball from under center, getting used to what play action movement looks like, in use the rhythm of, oh, now I've hit my back foot, the ball should probably come out now.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. It's great to see. But of all of the character, like the this guy is this guy, if at the end of it you get a Caleb Williams version of Jared Goff, sign me up.
Oh yeah.
I'd be all right with that.
Damn right.